And welcome to episode 20.
XX.
No, let's not try that. This is public radio. No. Supported by listeners like you. No. This is episode 20 of Upon Further Review with
the Podcast Profs.
And who are you still claiming to be this week?
I am Dr. Soren Fanning, your friendly neighborhood historian.
See, there he goes again. That friendly neighborhood stuff.
It's gonna stick.
See, you're not
well,
like.
Well, there you go again.
You're not sharing that. You're the same family or friendly neighborhood historian every week.
Yes.
I don't ever get to be the friendly neighborhood communicator.
You could. You just don't.
Could. Yeah.
Oh.
You never claim
it's
it.
It's not a lot. It's not forbidden.
Oh, okay.
You're friendly and you live in the neighborhood.
Well, in that case, then I'm your friendly neighborhood journalism professor, Anthony Moretti.
Does it feel as good as you hoped?
Yeah.
See?
Good.
I feel invigorated.
And seeing as we are in Pittsburgh, the home of Fred Rogers.
Neighbors do matter.
We are a city of neighbors.
We are indeed.
And the weather is stormy with a chance of Daniels.
Okay. As you know.
I've been looking forward to this.
I got to tell you, John, that show you and I did alone a couple weeks ago, I suddenly missed that opportunity.
No, you miss me.
But as we normally do, we are recording the show on a Wednesday afternoon, and it is indeed slightly rainy-ish outside, and it's likely to get worse.
Well, it's actually the weather's doing a wonderful April impersonation.
Yes, it is, which, you know, considering global... Oh, no, I'm sorry. The global warming was a hoax perpetuated by the Chinese. I should stop
mentioning
that.
Well, seeing as the budget proposal has completely cut out PBS Head Start, NASA's science division, and frankly, anything that has to do with learning at all.
That's nuts, isn't it?
Well, that's the nicest thing I can use to describe it.
And as you know, each week, Soren and I try to come up with a theme to the podcast. And this week, as you might guess, my subtle attempt at getting him to say, yeah, speaking of things that are nuts, but he didn't pick up on the hint. Let's try that again. That's nuts, isn't it?
Speaking of things that are nuts,
that's the theme of this week's podcast.
The past week has pretty much fallen into that category.
It's the Are You Nuts edition of Upon Further Review with the Podcast Profs.
Sponsored by Planters.
Sorry. Where Mr. Peanut is going to come through the door at any minute. All right, now, I'm going to let you go first because, as you know, I think that Stormy Daniels and her 15 minutes of fame were used up in whatever movies she made a few years ago. But her now reemergence into the mainstream media conversation, oh my God, I can't believe I said that, has my circuits
well, there
a
was
little
news,
bit fried.
Well, there was news this morning.
Yes, so go
and
ahead
and I would like to point
and,
out...
And
Fill it is in. The White House that actually reintroduced Stormy Daniels into the conversation. Because the president's lawyer claims that he personally paid Ms. Daniels $130,000.
To do what?
To not talk to anyone in the closing days of the election.
Because?
Well, here's my question to this is, are you nuts?
Which one in this case? The attorney who?
Well, the attorney... What attorney is going to fork over 130 grand to an adult entertainer to keep her quiet about his client's activities?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are people who bill by the minute.
Mm-hmm.
No, honestly expect us to believe, well, I just decided to do it because I thought it'd be a good... Are you kidding me?
Yeah, what surprises me about this story... there's a lot... Well, you know what? Actually, no, I take that back. There's not a lot that surprises me about this because this seems to be sort of the modus operandi of pre-politician Trump. Do something, get in a mess, write a check, make the person go away.
Right. The only difference is I think what we're witnessing now... Is the White House officially no longer even trying?
Yes, which is frightening. We are
They're not even trying to even make it seem remotely plausible. They're just, whatever.
15-ish months into this administration. Now.
And by the way, is Sarah Huckabee Sanders looking more and more like Sean Spicer every single day?
You know, I'll tell you, I did not, when I say met her, what I mean by that is I was, as you know, I was at the 2016 Republican Convention as a faculty leader with the Washington Center. And while there, I attended several events that were open to the public, et cetera. And so I met her, not personally shook hands, hi, right. how are you, but sort of got to know her through seeing her on a couple of panels. And what struck me at the time was my first impression was this is a strong, resolute, smart young to me, just because of the age that I am, you know, young woman. And, you know, I thought, you know what? No, her father's politics are not mine, but I could understand why somebody like Mike Huckabee would that it made sense that she would be his daughter. You know, right. he is, again, pretty.
Families have cultures.
Exactly. And so it made sense to me. And now I look at the sort of rabbit hole that she's gone down.
And Alice in the Looking Glass?
It's you know, okay. If you and I want to interpret something differently, that's fine. Then we're dealing with not necessarily right versus wrong, but
your view versus my view.
Exactly. Whether it's Republican, Democrat, man, woman, doesn't matter. It's just a difference of opinion, so to speak, or interpretation. But, you know, I think of Sean Spicer standing there the first 24 hours of his term as White House press secretary saying that Trump had the largest crowd ever for an inauguration.
You know, and it's one thing to take your credibility, display it to the world, mm-hmm. douse it in gasoline, and light it on fire.
Wantonly,
But to do it over something as ridiculous as a crowd size.
Yes.
That's what was stunning.
But as we know, Trump is very squeamish about this kind of – not squeamish. He wants to
vain.
Be – Vain, that's the word. The biggest, the best, the largest, the buttons and all that.
He's an emotional hemophiliac.
He's an emotional child is what he is. But that's another story altogether. So for Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the question maybe is, are you nuts?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know if she's nuts, but I'm pretty sure she's decided she doesn't want a career in communications after this because
miscommunications, maybe.
Because she's no credibility left. I mean, her career, if she wanted one, is shot.
And that's the problem with what is happening with too many people around the Trump orbit is that largely their credibility is so toxic at that point that they are not in any way, shape, or form mainstreamed any longer, that they just seem to be beyond the pale of common sense.
In terms of behavior and culture, Trump represents a tumor. It just metastasizes, mm-hmm. and it infects mm-hmm. everyone and everything around him.
And sadly, again, 15 months into this presidency, there's no reason to believe that it's going to get any better. To close the loop on I was about to say Sarah Daniels story. That had been combining two women, and that's not fair in this case.
Two very different women.
Two very different women. To close the loop on the Stormy Daniels story, she claimed that she had a romp with the president. Well, more like the president wanted a romp with her when he was not the president.
Well, I hasten to point out that the White House has never actually denied
that this took place. Right. And the romp apparently took place ballpark 10 months after.
Is that what we're calling it now?
Well, I'm trying to be kind.
A rendezvous?
You can call it whatever you want. All right.
A tryst.
Took place roughly 10 months after the current Mrs. Trump gave birth to Barron Trump. And there has been nothing from this White House that has said this is not true. To me, the awful thing, the are you nuts moment, though, is if indeed Trump's attorney is telling the truth, and I have no reason to question the man's integrity. Why would you write a personal check unless you want leverage?
I don't know. Maybe he's taking the Jerry Springer playbook.
Yeah, you never know. That's possible. All right. Who else is nuts this week? Or is it my turn?
Well, no. And we've bashed the right, and now it's time to bash the left.
Yes, because.
So, in addition to the gloriousness that has been the Olympics, mm-hmm. and by the way, it's been amazing so far, and I love mixed doubles curling.
Yeah, wasn't that fun?
Oh, it's
except
great
Mother Nature. Mother Nature's not very happy with these Olympics right
well,
now.
Well, she's punishing the skiers pretty bad, and that ain't cool.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, that means a lot of snowboarding, which is a judged event, which I don't like.
Precisely.
And the Dutch are continuing to own the world in speed skating.
Were you anti-Dutch?
No, I'm impressed. I mean, it's a dynasty.
Oh, is it because the Dutch is orange that you have sort of this orange anti-bias going on?
No, no, no. It's not. No, I'm not reaching like Bill Belichickian levels of distaste. I'm impressed that the Dutch keep owning the podium.
Yes.
But the weird, perverse, and I'm stretching this word within an inch of its life, celebrity surrounding
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Yo-jung.
Kim Yo-jung.
Who is the sister of Kim Jong-un.
The thug.
Right.
The dictator.
The woman who is representing North Korea. Now, I am all for North and South Korea opening a dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the words of Winston Churchill, talk is infinitely preferable to war.
Yes.
So anything that starts a conversation, I am in favor of.
Except.
However, elements of the far left
mm-hmm.
have been so deranged
mm-hmm.
by this president,
mm-hmm.
not unjustifiably, but mm-hmm. it's still a derangement, that somehow this woman became something. She was called the Ivanka Trump of North Korea, which I never thought I would say this, is a horrible disservice to Ivanka Trump.
Yes, it is.
Let us be clear. Yes, she gave some award-winning side eye to Vice President Pence.
I might too.
Fine.
That's another story altogether.
But understand, this woman is the queen of the gulag.
Yes.
She is personally responsible for administering the political prison camp system that, let us not forget, locks up three generations
mm-hmm.
of an offender, and I'm using that term loosely.
And kills American 22-year-old-ish people. Oh, wait, no, Otto Warmbier died when he returned to the United States. He didn't really die in North Korea.
It's a shame. Right. He beat his own head into the wall 16 times.
It's
tragic.
Did you notice that? Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Now,
understand, the North Korean political system is among the most brutal, the most repressive on Earth, and I don't care what your politics are. This is not a matter of opinion. This woman oversees one of the harshest, most cruel, most arbitrary systems of mass incarceration and starvation on planet Earth. She is not to be admired, and I can't believe I have to remind people of that.
And what was worse for me, as you know, I sort of pay close attention to what journalists are doing. And too many journalists seem to be, wow, look, it's Kim Yo-jung. It's Kim Yo-jung. Yeah, I get it. There is that sort of fascination because we had not seen her in as public a venue before as we had while she was in South Korea over the weekend. But to begin this sort of, you know, oh, let's enjoy this charm offensive that she's on, and let's make sure that we, you know, positively note that she's smiling at this event and presenting gifts to this person at this event, etc. Yeah, okay. Report what she does. I get that. Fine. Report it as fact. I'm good with that. But for crying out loud, I mean, let's stop with this. And isn't she like gorgeous and she's pretty and she's photogenic and she's stop, people.
So is Ava Brown.
Stop. I mean, this is insanity.
No,
are
it is.
Are you people friggin' nuts?
It is. Let us not forget the nature of this regime. And I can't believe I have to remind people about this.
They send people to die happily.
Not just them.
Yeah.
One generation above and one generation below.
Did you see the picture, by the way, of the debrief yesterday from North Korea? Oh, this was priceless. Apparently yesterday, the sister and the nominal head of state, I forget his exact name.
Oh, the figurehead.
The figurehead.
He doesn't need a name.
No, he's fake leader.
Well, to be honest, I mean, they really could save money. They could just get a cardboard cutout.
Nobody would know the difference. The guy's like 90 years old. I'm not making fun of people who are 90 years old. But four or five people were having a debrief with Kim Jong-un about what took place in Seoul and Pyeongchang and environs.
Well, remember, I mean, Kim Jong-un authored a PhD dissertation at the age of four or whatever the hell
I know.
It was.
Did you know that?
Unbelievable.
Wouldn't you like to have been on that committee? Actually, maybe you don't want to be on
no,
that
you
committee.
Don't.
Come to think of it. But anyhow, he was seated on one end of this long row of chairs. There was no table in the middle. It was this ornate hall somewhere in Pyongyang. And on the other side was everybody else. And so here's Kim Jong-un sitting smack dab in the middle with nobody on either side of him on his entire side. And five or six people sitting directly across from him. And all the way at the far end was the sister.
Yeah.
Shows you how important she is in the whole grand scheme of things.
Yeah, well, she was to go there, look telegenic, and not screw up.
And
she did that spectacularly.
And, of course, to complete the circle of the media of the media stupidity on this issue, the media were quick to note yesterday that Kim Jong-un reported or said that because the South Koreans treated his sister so nicely, he would keep the dialogue open for both countries moving forward.
How generous.
Isn't he just a sweetheart?
Come on, people.
Grow up.
No, all right. Use your brains. I'm begging you. We need to start doing this.
So if we're going to admit that, you know, there's are you nuts in politics, and are you nuts on the international stage, and are you nuts on the media stage, who else is nuts?
I'll let you take this one.
Oh, I got to go on this one?
Yeah, you got to go on this one because I know you teed this one up.
I've been sitting on this one for a while. So, as you know, and folks, it ain't debatable. Russia meddled in the U.S. election.
What?
You didn't know this?
Of course I knew that.
Okay, I thought you might have. I mean, you know, there's... Now, can we sit there and say that one person's vote or a million people's votes were affected? No, we can't put a number on what the meddling did. But what we do know, without a doubt, is through its various propaganda organs, one of which interviewed me last week. We can discuss that if we have time at the end about the Olympics.
Our interview with Secret Agent Moretti will continue.
Duh. But anyhow, there's no question there was meddling. There's no question it's in Russia's propaganda arsenal. It's no question that it works. It's no question that Russia has tried it in Western European democracies, in the United States, etc.
And it's no question that this president is the gift that keeps on giving
it, because he says it ain't happening. Because obviously to admit it would be to tarnish.
There was a Senate hearing today. CIA mm-hmm. Director Mike Pompeo,
mm-hmm.
after
who is in Trump's back pocket.
He's a Trump appointee.
Yes.
And by the way, did an amazing, I mean, I'm surprised he's not on the U.S. gymnastics team, given how flexible he was in dodging the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually had to admit that the president has so far not directed the CIA to take any steps to prevent future meddling. This was corroborated by the outgoing head of U.S. Cyber Command, Admiral Mike Rogers.
And remember, yesterday, meaning Tuesday, as a reminder, we're recording episode 20 of Upon Further Review with the podcast profs on Valentine's Day, by the way. And you and I got to make sure we send out a shout out to our Valentines when the show is at the end. Even though we did one on Facebook, we should be a little more pronounced. But anyhow, and various members of the intelligence community, from the CIA to the NSA to, I forget, all
every intelligence organ in the country,
whatever alphabet soup it was, all essentially went before Congress on Tuesday and said, look, the Russians are going to try this again in 2018.
Right.
They're going to try to meddle in the elections. And here's the thing to keep in mind. We know what the blueprint is. On one hand, disseminate fake news. On the other hand, be very hostile toward the presumed enemy. In 2016, it was Hillary Clinton and the Democrats.
It's probably going to be the exact same thing in 2018.
I was going to say, it'll probably be the same thing again in 2018. We know Facebook is, I think, I'm not sure, but I think embarrassed by what happened. Twitter certainly appears to be embarrassed by what happened.
Not embarrassed enough to change anything, but embarrassed.
But you know what? If the CIA ain't going to do anything about it, you know.
Well, and that's because, I'm sorry, the simplest explanation is this president sees it in his interest to allow Russia to meddle in our elections.
And here's the thing that's scary. I read two different stories last week that made me just want to shudder. And that was that for the most part, Americans don't care about this issue because they see it as all part of that cluster, you know what, that was the 2016 election that was ugly.
Oh, let's not forget the false equivalency.
Yes, we got to have false equivalency there. But
well,
her
everyone
emails.
Does it.
Yes.
No, everyone doesn't do it. In fact, nobody does this but one group.
Yes. And so you know, is this White House truly nuts to think, or maybe what it presumes is, if they are indeed using their propaganda arsenal to help me, Donald Trump, maybe they'll do it again in 2018 and the Democrats won't take the House and or the Senate.
That's got to be what he's hoping.
John Roland, anything?
I've got nothing to add that's meaningful.
What about something that's not meaningful?
I find it really silly that had this come up a decade ago when Obama was just getting elected.
Oh, Nelly.
You would literally see cities burning. But, yeah. But because it's a celebrity TV star who has appealed to the people who feel like they haven't been appealed to enough, even though they're pretty appealed to for the most part. It's ridiculous the standards that we'll hold just for the sake of...
tribalism?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, remember, the Republicans were the Law and Order Party until they decided suddenly that they didn't like the FBI.
No. The Republicans were the deficit hawks.
Well, then there's that giant hypocrisy. And by the way, speaking of...
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Just go.
Okay.
You've been holding it in. Don't have to hold it any longer.
So, I'm watching analysis of the of this budget proposal coming up, and I hear, well, both parties ran up deficits. Stop. That's wrong. Now, look, I am not going, I'll be damned if I'm going to get stuck with a defense brief for a political party, but I'd like to point out that since 1980, probably early, I would like to point out that deficits grew under Presidents Reagan, Bush Jr., and Trump.
All of whom are of which party?
Are all Republicans.
Thank you.
Under the two Democratic presidents we've had, the deficit dropped considerably under Obama because the whole, you know, Great Recession thing. And actually, under Clinton, we got surpluses. And George H.W. Bush was practically ridden out of Washington on a rail by his own party for trying to cut the deficit. So I don't want to hear it's the fault of both parties. It's not. I mean, if you really want to truck it all the way back to World War II, fine. But I mean, that's starting to get ridiculous.
I did not have deficit reductions with those Republicans.
Stupid deficit spender. No, never mind. Lincoln.
That won't work.
Spendthrift.
I know. I mean, and here's the thing.
Grover Cleveland.
I know. What good was he for? Wasn't he the guy who was elected twice?
Non-consecutive terms.
Non-consecutive terms.
And by the way, as a historian and a complete history nerd, it bugs the heck out of me that he's considered the 22nd and 24th president.
But he is.
No, he is not. He's not two different people.
But he is.
No, he was the 22nd president. When he got elected again, he was still the 22nd president of the United States.
Not consecutively.
Doesn't matter.
We're talking numbers.
Let me put it this way.
Okay.
If you were the third journalism professor at RMU.
Okay.
And you briefly, you got a one-year gig at Oxford, and you came back.
Did I resign?
You would not be the third and fifth journalism professor. You're still the same man.
That's true, but that's not how we...
How we do it is wrong.
Are you nuts?
No, I'm right.
Oh. He's right? Is he right, Mr. Roland?
I agree with him.
Thank you.
You agree with him a lot.
Because I'm right.
He's making sense here.
Thank you.
Are you implying something, Mr. Roland? Or are you just stating it?
No, I'm just stating it. This makes a lot of sense. If you leave and come back, you're still the same person you were before.
This is true, but isn't he sequentially the 22nd and the 24th?
He's not a different person.
I said sequentially.
We should just start counting terms. Screw it. We'll just count every single term that's ever been had.
But sequentially...
But that makes no sense.
But sequentially, it does.
Okay, this is apparently how we're going to leave the podcast, but I'm not going to let this go. It doesn't matter the sequence.
You can tell I got him going, can't you? If he were a fish right now, I'm just reeling him in one... You know, just like... You know, whistling as the line is being reeled in.
You're just being punky.
Brewster?
I'm just going to ask, are you nuts?
Nice.
Yeah. Why do we keep him around?
Because you need me.
Are you graduating?
No, that's absolutely true.
Are you graduating this
year? And we'll interpret your silence as an admission of guilt.
Hey, I'm Catholic. Guilt is like my middle name, for crying out loud, all right?
Anthony Guilt Moretti.
That's true, too, all right?
Stop!
I know. So, who is most nuts then? The Trump administration, Trump's attorney who wrote a personal check to an adult entertainment industry. Apparently, she's a star. To the left, who were fawning over the sister of the thug.
The Gulag Queen.
Although, in fairness to her, she is only the director of propaganda.
Because that's not at all a sketchy title.
No, that's not a sketchy title. So who is most nuts in this? See, I got to go with Trump's attorney. I think you got to be
a special kind of nuts.
A special kind of nuts to write a personal check to an adult entertainment star.
Now we need to clarify.
Why?
There is nothing inherently bad about working in the adult entertainment industry.
Right.
It is perfectly legal.
Right.
You're not hurting anybody. Fine. So it's not so much that he wrote a check to Ms. Daniels. I don't even think it's necessary to point out what industry she works in.
Right.
But the fact that you write a personal check as hush money.
Yes.
So she deliberately does not tell the American public what she was doing with a guy who turns out to be the next president of the United States.
Just imagine if it had been Barack Obama.
Oh, boy.
Just imagine.
Don't get Sean Hannity started on that portrait, by the way.
By the way, I was going to ask, what do you think of the portraits?
I didn't care for them.
I didn't like them either.
Now, I'm not saying they weren't skilled.
They were skilled.
I I have no artistic ability whatsoever, so I can't throw stones.
Stick people is as far as I can go.
Yeah, but I didn't get the whole, was Barack Obama supposed to be sitting in the outfield of Wrigley Field with that ID?
Considering, too, that he's a White Sox fan, that's a little bizarre.
Right, right. That was weird. Yeah. The actual portrait of Obama himself was incredibly well done.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the sort
eclectic
of interpretive.
Yeah, I didn't get that. But again, my idea of art, anything beyond stick people, and it's like, ooh. Okay, yeah. It's either good or bad. I
think the Obamas were ill-served by the artist, but that's just me.
But my sense is that they both preferred something that was non-traditional, for lack of a better word.
Hey, fine. You know what? This is it's a matter of taste, and we can disagree.
The other day when we recorded this on Friday, I said that we needed to have some sort of controversy at the Winter Olympics by Wednesday to have something to discuss. What will be the controversy at the Olympics before it's over? Will it be Sean White getting nailed with that story about sexual harassment minutes? And boy, was that timed perfectly, released minutes after he won his gold medal?
I have a feeling something else is going to come up.
There's still time.
And because, all right, and I'm not saying these allegations shouldn't be taken seriously. I am not saying that it makes it right. What I am saying is that sexual shenanigans and athletes have a tendency to go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you've got a bunch of generally young people
mm-hmm.
in superlative physical condition
mm-hmm.
at the peak of their careers.
Mm-hmm. And in many cases, at the peak of their procreative, is that a word?
Why not?
Procreative abilities?
Capabilities. You know, at the peak of their public exposure, fame, and fortune, that's a powerful cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I'll say is that during the London Olympics in 2012, the organizers wisely stocked up on something like 250,000 condoms.
Speaking of stocking up.
Oh, but wait. I didn't tell you the best part about that.
They needed more.
They ran out after 6 days.
Well, yeah, it was a bunch of people taking them home.
So do the math.
They were taking them home. All
right. I'm sure.
They were taking them home. All right.
Because after collecting like stamps, you go for condoms.
Did you see the mistake that the Norwegians made?
No, I didn't.
The eggs? Oh, that is great.
What?
They requested 1,500 eggs to feed their Olympic team and misplaced the decimal point. So they got 15,000 eggs.
That's a lot of eggs.
That's
fact that you need 1,500 alone you might is a say lot.
That left a few people scrambled.
The yolk's on them.
The yolk is on them, all right? Man, that's, you know, what you want to do an egg joke?
How do you deliver 1,500 eggs?
15,000.
Extra zero.
No, even just 1,500. Do you just take a truck full of the pre-cooked
Drive
eggs?
Slow.
Drive slow, yeah.
I can't imagine.
I could just
that.
Imagine, like, could you imagine, like, on the order form, you know, like,
sign
how
here.
How many you got? 15,000? What? You know,
Arnie, I may have made a mistake.
No, it's not Arnie. It's more like Sven or something, you know?
But the other thing, you know what I'm really impressed with? South Korea showed up with 15,000 eggs right when they needed to. That is an efficient operation.
Hey, look, the South Koreans provided the Norwegians what they wanted, lots of eggs, and provided the North Koreans what they wanted, lots of good publicity. So far, they're doing a great job.
Although the average North Korean probably would prefer the eggs.
Yeah. I do think, by the way, the and then we'll wrap up with this. I do think the controversy that could have been was handled very quietly and very quickly by the White House, which opted to shut up with the whole issue regarding Mike Pence and Adam Rippon, the figure skater, the first openly gay American in the Winter Olympics.
Rippon had every right to say, no, I don't want to meet with the guy. And Pence showing, for this White House, an absolutely inhuman level of self-awareness, mm-hmm. wisely decided to shut up.
To shut up. All right. So we agree that the president's attorney wins the prize for the Are You Nuts Award this week. With that, we got to give a shout out to our much, much, much better halves.
Indeed. It is Valentine's Day. Both of us were lucky enough to marry our best friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's been similar amounts of time. By the way, you've been with your much, much better half mm-hmm. for 21 years, right?
We met in January of 96, had our first date in March of 96, went down the aisle in May of 97.
You met right when I was born, I guess.
Oh, be quiet.
I'm going to take all the credit because I might have been alive.
There you go.
I might have been.
You know what?
There's a 50-50 shot.
You know what? Taking that kind of credit, that's like North Korean level of propaganda. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Not bad. So when did Susan and you meet? And
we met
your
in
first
the fall
date?
Of 1999. That was our right. first date. And we were married in October of 2002.
All right. So 3-ish year courtship, so to speak.
Yes.
Good stuff. There's a wonderful story about why ours.
I still cannot believe I'm lucky enough.
I know. You know. I mean, yeah. He is
very lucky. Soren Fanning.
See, friendly neighborhood historian, right?
Of course, but I've already said that. I don't need to repeat.
You don't repeat yourself.
No, okay. I just do it once a week, right. And that's good enough.
And I am your friendly neighborhood journalism professor, Anthony Moretti.
Now he's just soaking it up.
Absolutely, somebody has to.
Like toast over spilled eggs.
Oh.
What do you think? Next week we do a secret podcast without him around? What do you think, John?
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it quietly, off
maybe
air.
Some duct tape.
Nice. He is Soren.
Not the Fanning. First time I've heard that.
I'm not touching that one either. He is Soren Fanning. He is John Roland. I am Anthony Moretti. Thanks for listening. We wrap up episode 20 of Upon Further Review with
the Podcast Profs.
Indeed.